A warning about this next story, as we're dealing with a sensitive topic, sex trafficking. Today, throughout Greater Boston, there will be dozens, perhaps hundreds, of illegal online transactions involving the selling and buying of sex. This morning, as we continue our series on the sex trade, we introduce you to people involved on both ends of the transaction.
Well, it happened through my daughter's father.
Audrey Morrissey spent years in the life, as she put it, working as a prostitute.
I was a teen mother. I got pregnant at 15, had my daughter at 16, was in love, infatuated. He was my whole world, my everything. Back then, we used to ride around a place. He had a cousin that was a pimp. We used to ride around a place called the Combat Zone, and his cousin had his girls working. And I pretty much thought I was just hanging with the fellas until I was asked to, he asked me, would I go out on the corner and basically and make money and, you know, we'll live happily ever after.
But it was hardly happy. Audrey says her very first encounter was with a cop who threatened arrest if she didn't perform oral sex. She stayed in the business even after her boyfriend was jailed. Over the years, she worked combat zone clubs and got strung out on heroin.
The bottom line, I was going to die here. There was nowhere else for me to go. And through the time, I remember I met another guy who came into the club, and one of the clubs that I was working in, I was 20. He was about 36, and he said some sweet things. I ended up with him, and that was another roller coaster ride. When I left, I was just a heroin addict.
On the other end of the sex transaction are the buyers. Out of concerns for his career, we agreed to refer to the buyer we met by the initials SS. He's married, in the middle of divorce, Caucasian, 65, and has a white-collar job. Close to the profile, some studies show of the most prolific online sex buyers, white, married, and earning an average of over $140,000 a year. SS says he became sexually addicted through pornography and then started paying for sex.
What was your life like when you were frequently purchasing sex?
I wasn't present. A lot of times when these experiences occurred, I was like out-of-body experiences. I was totally irrational.
When you were having sex, did you ever wonder who was on the other end of the online transaction, you know, whose daughter, sister, mother you were engaging in this contract with?
Excellent question, and the answer is categorically almost never.
Why?
That's a good question. I wish I could have a good answer, and I think that this was about my own gratification and really about very little else. I'm embarrassed to say, I'm ashamed to say that, but that was the case.
Do you know if you ever engaged in sex with an underage girl?
I don't know that. I have some suspicions about a couple of encounters that may have involved that, but I certainly don't know that.
Experts say it's difficult to know just how many minors are sold in the sex trade. The Justice Department acknowledges a lack of data. In Massachusetts, a 2012 Suffolk County report offers a snapshot. It documented more than 480 child victims of sexual exploitation received services between 2005 and 2012 in the Boston area. But those were children who found help and not those under the radar.
I was going on 16 when I was first brought into the life.
Another survivor of the sex trade in Boston is a woman we agreed to refer to as Lala to protect her career. She's now in her early 20s.
It originally started because I had lots of vulnerabilities, lots of insecurities. And so when boys would say nice things to me or tell me how pretty I was, that kind of was like the lure for me.
She left home, moved in with a drug dealer boyfriend. Later, he moved out, leaving Lala in need of money. A woman who would become her pimp told her she could make $100 by doing, as Lala put it, X, Y, and Z. And that was her introduction to the sex trade.
I needed money, and I didn't know how to get a job. I didn't have any skills. I didn't know what else to do. So I went online and started selling myself there. I thought that was the only thing that I was good at.
She thought the online transaction would leave her in control, but Lala said she was beat up, jumped, and raped in the sex trade. Both Lala and Audrey have escaped. Lala left that life after just a few years. Audrey was in for 13 years. Both now mentor mainly young women through the Boston anti-trafficking group My Life, My Choice, where they speak to girls about the dangers of being lured in. Here's Lala.
We're letting you know this is what happened to me, and it doesn't change because when I was in life, it was, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. It's still the same kind of predators and the same kind of trauma and the same kind of abuse.
Coercion is a common theme in the sex industry. It was only a short time ago in a therapy session that the former sex buyer we met, SS, realized that not all of his paid sex partners were likely willing.
The one that comes to mind was one that involved a woman from China who didn't speak very good English, who kept going back and forth between the room that we were in and another room after she had taken my money and was very concerned. I said, you know, we don't have to do this. We can stop. You know, just give me my money back and I'll leave. And she said, no, no, and we went ahead. But as soon as it happened, I left and I blocked it out and I never thought of it again.
SS has also escaped that world. He describes himself as a recovering sex addict, of being sexually sober, sexually abstinent for the past 4 years, thanks to working with a therapist and a 12-step program. And in at least one other way, he considers himself lucky.
I'm wondering, did you ever have a run-in with the law?
Thank heavens, no. I'm very fortunate that that did not occur. It wasn't because of something I did. I just got lucky.
He might be more right about that than he knows, as the authorities and activists have placed Boston at the forefront of a crackdown on the sex trade aimed at reducing demand by targeting buyers just like SS. That crackdown was helped yesterday with a state Supreme Court ruling rejecting a challenge to the constitutionality of a 2012 state law against human trafficking. We recently discussed that law and the state's crackdown on sex buyers with State Attorney General Maura Healey.
If there are no buyers, there is no sex trade. And so we are aggressively focused on getting the word to those who would go on sites like Backpage to understand there is somebody's mother, daughter, brother, son behind that click. We're talking about the trafficking of human beings.
What's the impact been of the state's human trafficking law in combating trafficking since it was signed into law in 2012?
Well, we've seen a number of investigations and prosecutions brought not only by the Attorney General's office, but also by district attorney's offices across the state. And that is terrific. We see coordination with local, state, and federal police. Having a law on the books is very important, and we've already started to see the effect of the law. We're also working very closely with survivor and victim organizations because part of the effort needs to be to reach out to those who are in that life, victims, survivors, to work with them on helping them access services to get out of the light and aggressively go after pimps and traffickers.
You see a trend in any of these areas that bothers you a lot, whether it's increased involvement of gangs, increased involvement of drug traffickers, increased involvement by organized crime or by immigrant gangs?
I think you see all of the above. People are getting robbed, assaulted, raped, murdered, killed. It's incredibly dangerous. One thing that is really concerning to me, though, Bob, is the fact that increasingly we are seeing young people, 12, 13, 14 years old, who are brought into this, who are victims of human trafficking, not just in urban settings, which may be people's perception. It's happening in rural, suburban, and urban communities. The ease with which traffickers and pimps are able to work, in part because of the internet, is very alarming.
You recently co-signed a letter with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh asking Backpage.com mm-hmm. to remove its adult services section where so much of the online sex trade is taking place. How far are you willing to go to see that section taken down?
Well, I'll go as far as we need to go to see that come down, because what we've seen here through our investigations and cases, the overwhelming majority of them involve advertisements placed on Backpage. This is the site that is allowing people to be exploited and trafficked. Backpage knows what's going on. The users know what's going on. And we know what's going on. And it's why we need to be aggressive.
Well, if there's criminal activity being facilitated by Backpage, can criminal action be taken by your office against Backpage if Backpage does not act on its own?
Well, Bob, my call to Backpage is simply do the right thing, but we'll continue to evaluate things as we go forward.
Is it being considered? Can you say that?
Everything is being considered at this point, Bob.
What about legalizing prostitution as a way of controlling it? It could be regulated. It might be presumably safer for those working in the sex trade. What's your response to those who say maybe that's the way this fight should evolve?
Well, I've heard that argument made, but I have to say I strongly disagree with it. It begins with an incorrect premise. The fact of the matter is the individuals who find themselves in this situation and in this life are incredibly vulnerable. They don't come to this of their own volition.
Attorney General Maura Healey, thank you very much for having us up. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me, Bob.
Our reports on sex trafficking in Boston were produced by WBUR's Shannon Dooling. I'm Bob Oakes.